Blog Talk Radio.
Stories to tell.
Well, I'm just glad you made it out the state without your warrants coming to play.
I'm glad I made it out the state before the snow hit, because, you know, I don't do snow.
Oh, Lord, here we go. You know, I understand that snow is a very good deterrent for zombies.
Who told you that shit?
Because
I'll point out that The Walking Dead made it through a winter already, and they still dealing with them boogers.
Oh, okay. So let me come up with another lie. okay, I got nothing.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Snow is your friend.
But the days in Niles, Ohio ain't.
See, okay, so before we get started, let me first say, welcome home. We've missed you.
I missed everybody, too.
Even though we still did a show and no one had a chance to miss you.
It just wasn't the same, you know?
Yeah.
So
go ahead. Tell us of thy adventures abroad.
So I am giving Days Inn an opportunity to make it right. They have until the 19th. But let's just say that I believe that they were infested with bed bugs. Even though I brought my little bed bug spray, that's another letter I'm writing because that shit didn't work. I have a rash on my ass.
Mm.
I have bites on my arms and my legs, and they have started to rash. And, you know, I slept with my clothes on, because when I went into that room, you know, I was like, mm-mm. So I headed over to Kmart and Target, and I picked up my own pillowcases, and I bought towels and washcloths, and I brought a can, like an industrial-sized can of Lysol, and I bought the disinfected hand scrubby things.
Mm-hmm.
And some wine. And
Wait a minute. And some wine.
Yeah, I had to set the gnat traps.
wait. And how does wine trap gnats? Because I'm a little fuzzy on the wine being good to kill bed bugs thing.
No, they don't kill bed bugs, but they kill gnats.
They killed
the
gnats.
Yeah, there was gnats,
uh-huh,
too.
Mm-hmm.
So the gnats go in unsuspecting into the little, you know, they're attracted to the vinegar and the sweetness of the wine. I mean, I can understand that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I bought a bottle for the gnats and a couple bottles for me.
Go ahead, Gnat Turner.
one, right? We're on hour one. And I didn't have any other place to go because there was a convention in town and everything was booked. And so...
Was it a Nat convention?
Apparently a bed bug convention, too.
Bed bugs do love, too.
Right, so I had glasses, and I had them give me some ashtrays, and I just pour wine in the glasses and the ashtray and strategically place them around the room, except for actually the glasses I used for my own personal imbibing.
How do we know we have a problem? We start drinking wine out of ashtrays and blaming it on insects. I don't think you need a 12-step program. I think you need a 1-step program. Step away from the wine.
Well,
you ain't ready for this.
No, no, no.
You
see, I wasn't drinking that wine because I got the cheap stuff for the next. I wasn't wasting my Moscato on the next.
Right. So the Ripple was for the next.
Right,
huh?
Right. They had the Annie Green Springs. You know, they had the cheap shit. Okay, so, and then I looked at my luggage, and I was like, you know what, I mean, they're going to have to sleep in my clothes, or I'm going to have to go get some more night clothes. So I went, and I got some footy pajamas.
Oh, my God.
And then I had my ancient mama headscarf on, and my sleeping mask. So when I finally went to sleep, the only thing that was uncovered were my hands, and the bottom half of my face, and then I just laid on my towel and kind of wrapped it around my face. I'm surprised I didn't suffocate my full self.
Got up,
emptied the traps, refilled them and the glasses.
Wait a minute. How do we empty ashtrays full of wine? We drink them.
No, there were gnats. There were gnats drowning in them. I just dumped them down the toilet.
Gotcha.
Right.
Right.
You know, then I refilled the ashtrays and refilled the glasses.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because at that point, I decided that I needed to be drunk every single day in order for me to stay in this room. Because I'm just saying. Ooh, Lord Jesus. So... I'm not going to tell you about how I fell. I'm not going to tell you about the holes in the wall and the big old spider that crawled out of the hole. I'm not going to get into those details. I'm going to skip to the bed bug attack. So the bed bug attack happened on Thursday. Now, what else happens on Thursday?
I believe the show Scandal comes on.
That's right. And what do I do every Thursday with Scandal?
You drink every time.
I drink.
The girl says, Mr. President.
Pretty much.
So by the first commercial break, you're 3 sheets in the wind.
Maybe 4. So
okay.
I did my ritual. I mean, you know, it comes on at 10 o'clock. So I was like, well, let me go take a shower, because I tried to take a bath and there was gravel in the tub, so I was through with that shit. So I took a shower.
Who takes a bath in a motel? Are you trying to lose both of your kidneys? I mean, I'm just
asking. You know what, though? I've never had any problems before. You know, I've never stayed in a flea bag motel before. And it's a day's inn. That's not even a motel. That's like a 2.5-star hotel, and I've never ever had a problem with Days Inn or Microtel or any of that family. Never ever. But this one, oh Lord Jesus, it was like a old like Super 8, because it had a door that you go in the hallway and then a door that faces out to the parking lot, like the prostitute hotels. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, motels. And it's like
idea about a prostitute
they
motel.
Converted it by just slapping the Days Inn logo on it, but it still was just disgusting. So anyway.
And you're not going to get me to confess to know anything about a prostitute motel, because that wasn't me.
That wasn't you. That wasn't you in 1987.
Don't know nothing about that. Don't know nothing about that.
And then so... OK, Okay, so I get in the shower, and I'm just feeling just grimy because of just all the gnats and the spider that came out and just whatever. So I look up, and it's like 9:52. That's unacceptable. And so I run out of the bathtub, I mean out of the shower, and I've still got my towel on. And I put on my undies, and then scandal starts. And so I say, well, you know what? I can put on pajamas in a minute. And I get out my little cracker and meat tray and my Moscato. I chose red this week or last week. And I saw a scandal. I remember it, but I passed out. That's all she wrote. In my underwear. Right?
Okay, so
when I
first
wake
of
up
all,
in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't protected myself. America, them bugs fucked me up. They fucked me up. Pardon my French. But that's just the bottom line. I was like, why is my ass hurt? And then I got nervous for a minute. I was like, ooh, what did I do?
So what you're saying is somebody's biting you. Let's address this piece by
they
piece.
They bit
first
me
of
all,
all
over my ass.
Let's
and
get
yeah,
back
the back
to
of
the
my
spider.
Thighs and on my arms. No, I know it wasn't a spider because I have
I
a rash.
Okay,
you know
okay,
what it's
so,
like coming home and trying to explain to your husband why you have an ass rash?
Honestly, say no. I have no idea.
It's not a pleasant like experience.
Coming
it's not
home
a pleasant
to my
experience.
Husband and explaining anything is.
Because the first reaction is, what? And then he starts thinking of what was she doing out in the woods naked? Because that's the only way you get an ass rash, right?
No, that's not the only way. You
well,
can sit on a
you
public
and I know,
toilet.
You and I know it's not the only way. We know that now.
I don't know any such thing because I've never had an ass rash, and I was never in that hotel, and I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
And, you know, and it's just, and I'm just beside myself.
And you should be.
It's like having a hemorrhoid. It hurts. It hurts to sit. You know, and that's when you know if your spouse really loves you because there's some areas you just can't reach. No matter how much you try, you just can't get the cream where it needs to go.
I am so not touching that last statement. Because I do not know your husband, and I will not besmirch his ability to reach certain places with cream. Now.
And you know what? It gives me a greater appreciation for the medical community because I have not sought medical attention yet. But when I do, I'm probably going to have to just show my ass to some
literally.
Poor, unsuspecting doctor, and I could never repay him or her enough. And I imagine it'll go something like, okay, Ms. Arsenal, yeah, got it. You can turn that big old ass right back around. Got it.
Okay, so.
I don't need to see it anymore. No, you don't have to spread. I understand.
Oh, my God. America, I'd like to apologize on behalf of the world. Because when the concept for this show was discussed, I don't ever remember us going over, will we discuss ass rashes? I don't remember that being part of the idea. And I definitely do not remember talking about putting cream in anybody's butt. So,
not just so much in, but on. It's
on
more on
and,
than in.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I promise, just on, not in. Honest to God, trust me. Which is usually followed by, oops. So, Wow,
so
I don't even know.
We want to go to the airport? So,
yeah, please, let's get to the airport quickly.
Sorry, because I'm taking up the entire show with my misadventures.
No, I just can't get my mind out of ass cream.
Okay, so I get to the airport like 2.5 hours early, and I'm driving, and United actually calls me and says that my flight's been delayed by a half hour, which is a little troubling. They were flying me east to fly me west, so I was leaving Cleveland and going into D.C., and I only had 50 minutes to meet my connecting, and so the half hour late, now I'm down to 20. So when I'm checking my bag, I said, hey, this is going on. Is there anything we could do about it? And she says, well, let me see. And then while she's looking, United calls again and says, now it's a 2-hour delay.
Oh, okay.
So
I know they can make
no
up
way.
30 minutes in the air.
Right. There's absolutely no way I'm making my connected flight.
Mm-mm. Because
so
unless you're on the episode of Twilight Zone where the plane is flying and it ends up in the past and seeing dinosaurs where the World's Fair used to be, you ain't going back in time 2 hours. It can't happen.
No. And I'm so glad I signed up for the alerts, because I wouldn't have known, because that was not information they were disclosing as I was checking in, you know. I would have just got on the plane and just been like, ooh, do-do-do-do-do. So anyway, so she gets me on the last seat on a plane that's flying to New Jersey and then Seattle. And that puts me back. That puts me behind like 2 hours because it's not leaving right away. My original flight was going to leave at 2:35, and my new flight was leaving at 5. So I'm just kind of tired and on the edge. And, you know, I briefly mentioned that I fell, scraped up my knee really, really bad. So I was pissed that I was in a middle seat because I couldn't stretch out my leg, but I'm on a plane. So that's that.
Okay. So let me stop you right here so we can catch up. Because I want, you know, people brought up to date. You never know when they tuned in. So let me just catch us up. So while in Ohio, you buy wine for gnats and end up with an ass rash. And on your way home, you find out that your airline has decided they're not putting you on the flight because you have an ass rash, and they come up with excuses as to why the flight's going to be delayed. And you find another airline that says, well, we can put an ass rash chick on the last seat on a plane to New Jersey, and no one will care. I got you. Go ahead.
Right. So, but, I mean, you need to visualize this. So
no, I don't want to visualize. I'm already visualizing cream on your ass. I don't really.
So my knee is jacked up. The white meat's showing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm in this middle seat. I can't stretch out my legs. My ass hurts because of the rash. Can you imagine how uncomfortable this flight is?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already just done. So I get to New Jersey, and the arrival gate. So because of the delays, I have 30 minutes to get to my Seattle flight. The arrival gate is C-72. The departure gate is C-132. That is clear across the concourse. It's going to take me... Normally, with my normal walk, that's going to take me a half hour. But I can't move my knee. My ass hurts every single time I breathe. There's no way I'm going to get from gate 72 to 132 in less than an hour. This is not going to happen. I try.
Did anyone offer you any words of encouragement during this
you
travail?
Did, Negro. You did. And my mother said if she hadn't laughed so hard, she would have punched you. So I'm at gate 72. I get to gate 75 before I give up.
The whole three gates, huh?
The whole three gates. I wish you could have seen me. I had my coat. It was hanging off of one shoulder. And my little beanie cap was askew. And I'm dragging my gimpy right leg and flinching every single time I walk because of my ass. And I got my luggage. I'm just kind of dragging behind me. I look like I'm trying to survive an apocalypse. So I hail one of them little carts for the old folks. And I tell him what's going on. He's like, no problem, I'll take you. He's Middle Eastern. He's got this really heavy accent. So for some reason, the carts at Newark don't have horns. They don't have lights. So the drivers have to say beep, beep.
So hate you right now.
And he had this accent. And so whenever he would say beep, beep, he'd say babe, babe. Babe, babe. Not beep, babe. Babe, babe. Babe, babe. He's going through Newark. Bye, bye. And then the other drivers are coming through. Beep, beep.
Boop, boop.
Beep, beep. And then he got behind somebody and they didn't hear him. So he said, babe, babe. Get run over because that's the kind of day I was having, and all I could say was babe, babe. So 10 minutes later, that's how long of a schlep this was. If I had to walk, it took him 10 minutes of babe, babe to get me over there. So I get on, and I'm there early enough to board early because they see I look like I've been beat up, and I'm in the middle seat again. And so you know that anticipation when that seat next to you doesn't fill up and, like, the whole plane is full? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, good. You know, we could spread out a little bit. So, no. Here comes my seatmate, second to last.
Mm-mm.
And it's a Japanese woman, and she's rushed. And I say hi to her, and she just nods. I gather that she doesn't really have a command of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sits down real hurried, and she bends down and shoves all her stuff under the seat in front of her. And she comes back up, and her wig is twisted. And it's like she had used Aquanet on them curls, on some of the curls. Some of the curls were a little bouncy, and some of them were like cement. And she's just kind of bouncing, and she keeps looking at me, and she's chit-chatting to the other person who's Japanese, and that little wig is just a shaking back and forth, and I don't know why she keeps looking at me. I don't know, maybe she's never seen a black woman with blonde hair before. I have no idea. But I fascinated her for some reason. And every single time she looked at me, I was trying not to laugh. My knee hurts. My ass hurts. I just finished going, babe, babe. And this woman's wig is twisted. And our other friend's dumbass, well, did you tell her? I was like, I don't know Japanese for your wig is twisted. So the plane takes off, and I just can't take it anymore. I think about 30 minutes in, I look at her, and I put my hands up in the air in front of my face, and I mimic straightening a wig.
Which in Japanese is death to the emperor. I don't think you knew
that. Right, right, right. And she's just looking. looking at me, and so I've got my hands up, and I keep shaking my wig, trying to fix it, my virtual wig. And she's just like, what the fuck is up with this crazy broad? And so she just never gets it. So finally, I just reach in front of her, and I just twist the wig for her.
See
and
why you're
I don't
wrong?
Normally make it a habit of grabbing other people's wigs and twisting it, but this wig was so cockeyed and hanging to the side. It's like she was wearing a wig kanglo. It was cocked to the side and twisted. I just said, you know what? If it were me, I would appreciate somebody grabbing my wig. But see, that's not quite the reaction I got.
So tired of letting you out of the state, and you caused an international incident.
She saw my hands coming for her, and she didn't know what to do, and so she started to smack my hands.
I can't.
In the process of me fixing her wig and her smacking my hands, it dawned on her what I was doing. But when she kind of blocked me, I over-rotated the wig. And so it was twisted the other way.
See?
But this time, she was self-conscious enough to feel it and fix it herself. And then she gave me, you know, the little Japanese thank you bow. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Don't bow too tight because...
Right. That's what got you in this mess in the first place. And then eventually I landed in Seattle. So now we love my grandmother. So I have one Nana story. So first of all, it was a surprise. She had no idea it was coming. So anyway, she lives in a senior building. And most of the people there, you know, my grandmother took my stilettos while I was there. You know, she may be 82, but she ain't 82. She routinely wears 3.5-4-inch heels. That's just how she rolls. And
okay.
So nobody believes when I tell people that she's 82, nobody believes me because, I mean, she doesn't dress inappropriately. You know, she's not running around, you know, dressed like a 12 or 21-year-old, but she doesn't dress like you would expect an 82-year-old to dress. She wears tailored suits and pantsuits and skirt suits that she makes herself, and she wears nylons and heels, and that's just how she is. And so she likes her apartment building because of all the amenities, but she hates the people. Because a lot of these people are just really, you know, they're what you expect somebody 82 to be like, and some of them don't have family, and she's like, these people are too old for me. And there's a group of women that sit downstairs in a gaggle. Oh, and they're so nosy, and they watch everybody who comes in and out, and three of them are on oxygen. One of them's in a wheelchair, and they just gossip. And so, I was the big thing because Nana keeps to herself, and she had a surprise guest. And so they're just always chit-chatting about what I was doing and whatnot. So we get upstairs, and Nana was talking about one of them. She says, you know, that bitch, she says, I mean, that woman, I can't stand that bitch. I hollered. Why'd you stop yourself from calling her a bitch when you called her a bitch anyway? And she just goes on and on and on and on and on about these people. And, I use a little bit of blue language. Now I know where
you?
I get it from.
You?
Yeah. Every other word out of my God-fearing Christian grandmother is the F word. She was watching the Cavaliers. That's her thing. Don't mess with Nana in football and basketball. For real. She will cuss you out. And Cleveland went into double overtime, and it was 120 to 120. She says, ooh, this basketball game got me fucked up. Like, Nana. That's Nana. But I learned a lot of stuff. You know, she makes food from scratch. You know, she made me some stuffing. So she didn't get out no stovetop or no ready-made breadcrumbs. She baked a cornbread cake and crumpled it up and made stuffing. I mean, that's what I'm saying, old school scratch, that's what I'm talking about. You know, she makes her own biscuits from scratch, and she knows how to make pasta from scratch, too, while we're at it. So I had a lot of good time with my grandmother and being at her knee, as it were, while she's cooking. And then I also did, as I told you, some family research on the Lars Sule side and found high school senior pictures of my grandparents from the 30s. And my great uncle was in the Negro Leagues, and there's in Maslin, there's a mural. Did I say that right? A mural. I haven't had anything to drink today, I promise. There's a mural with him and a picture of him and all his accomplishments and stuff, and I thought that was really cool. And then I'm back in Seattle.
Well, yeah. Okie dokie.
I'm going back in the spring to finish family research, but I'm not staying at no Days Inn.
I don't think they'll let you. Because it sounds to me you got all their gnats fucked up. And
and their bed bugs.
And their bed bugs. So now the rest of the guests are saying, we got drunk gnats and bed bugs floating around in here.
Right. Right. They were all concentrated in my room. Now they just spread because I gave them a little liquid courage.
spreading ass cream. From hither to hell.
Right. From Maslin to Seattle.
I don't even know. I can't. I just don't even know what to say. I don't think you should be allowed out of the state of Washington again. But again, what?
Now, I'm going back in probably April. Nana's birthday is April 3rd. And she'll be turning 83. So I want to go out there, and I have a lot of family research I have to do because Maslin's a really small town, so they take all the vital records to the next biggest town, and the next biggest town is Canton and Akron. And so I need I think 2 weeks, but I'm not standing no freaking Days in. I'm not gonna be cheap about it. You know, I'm just going to, if I got to pay $80 a night, I'm paying $80 a night because this.
You go, girl. You do that. You do that. You do.
If this was not worth saving the little, being $10 cheaper.
Well, it
and
sounds
tempted,
to me
I'm
like
tempted
it
to
was...
take a picture. I'm tempted to take a picture of my ass and blow it up and stick it on the door and say, don't let this happen to you.
That's one way we could handle this.
Not the best way.
Not
that's
the best
one way.
Probably not the way I would go, but
well, you know how I act when I get a little angry.
Yeah. Okay. I just, alrighty. I got nothing.
Because there's nothing to say. There's just no defense for what happened to me.
None.
I might sue. But see, you know, it's just a delicate issue. You know, I'm angry and I want compensation, but do I really want all of America to know that I have an ass rash?
Well, they do now.
It'll be a matter of public record. Yeah, but see, don't forget this conversation. But, you know, it'll be years from now, it'll be Lars Sule versus Days Inn. Whenever somebody gets sick, they'll refer to my case. The victim had an ash rash.
And, you know, just so you know that I believe Days Inn will countersue because you are, of course, you have, of course, admitted, confessed to giving alcohol to underage insects and aphids. So
I beg your pardon. You know what the lifespan of a gnat is? A couple weeks. He was already a young adult.
Uh-huh.
Not even been elderly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I can't even tell you. Oh, and that's another thing. Well, we could send somebody in there to spray. You know, you can't spray for gnats. Well, what do you think? How stupid do you think I am? There is no gnat spray. I've had gnats in my house. There is no gnat spray. You have to set traps.
Oh.
And you can improvise like I do and hit them with, like, some Lysol right when they're over the sink and watch the little asses drop in the sink and then rinse them down. But there's no gnat spray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the best course of action. Hey, at least they went down having fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
As one who's been known to partake in just a little bit of alcohol, Moscato can be a little fun.
All I know is I have yet to see a drunk gnat. But I'm going to take your
word for
it.
Wait, let's go back. All you know is 14 months ago, I wasn't drinking anything. And here I am, an expert on killing gnats with wine. Mm-hmm. It was a quick descent.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think if you take your admiration for killing all things that annoy you and add that to your newfound devotion to finding ways to entertain yourself while on the road, I see how this could happen.
I think that my new theme song is going to end up being Olivia by the Whisperers. Lost and turned out on the way home from grandmother's house.
I really worry about you when you're swimming upstream without a paddle.
Right, I'm gonna be the mayor from Toronto soon.
Yeah, but that would that's a whole different meaning of crackhead. I just want you to know.
I hate you.
So, onto the what's going on in the world news. And since we segue with. Well, we already talked about Mayor, I'm not a crackhead. I only tried crack when I was in one of my drunken stupors.
Yeah, wait a minute, though. That's what cracks me up. He's like, did you take crack? Well, he was like, yeah, I was pretty drunk.
He said in one of my drunken stupors.
Like, really? No matter how much I drink, I don't think we'll ever be having that discussion. I don't think we'll be saying, come on, you know, why'd you try heroin? Well, I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, I was high at the time, so I figured, why not?
I was already drunk. Why not just add one more thing? It's just cocaine.
It's just cocaine. Why not?
Why not? You know, a little bit of cocaine, a little bit of wine. Hey, sounds like a party.
Sounds like a party. So yeah, but when we last left America, elections were happening in certain spots of the country. It wasn't nationwide. It was just a few segments of society. Virginia was having a gubernatorial election. New Jersey.
You know what? I've always wondered why it's gubernatorial and the word is governor. I never understood that.
Well, when you figure that out, you can tell me how we get Dick out of Richard. So I don't, there's a lot of, you know, that's English. And since I'm not a Japanese tourist, I can't tell you why it is.
I hope that woman don't go back to Japanese. I swear I'm not drunk. I hope that woman don't go back to Japan and talk about the weird black woman, because, you know, they got issues with black folks anyway, who assaulted her wig.
Right. She threw herself at me, and I had to do some karate. To get her off me.
I'm sorry. So, gubernatorial races.
Yes. In New Jersey and Virginia, and of course, the mayoral election in New York City. So elections have consequences, and except for New Jersey, we have two new Democratic governors. I mean, well, one Democratic governor and one Democratic mayor or Democrat mayor in New York. And New Jersey reelected their incumbent Republican governor, who's rather progressive and moderate.
Yes, he's progressive in his eating.
Well, no, he's very liberal in his food love. He does not discriminate on things that go from his plate to his mouth. But a lot of the pundits around the country are speculating, does this signal the death knell for the Tea Party? And how does this factor into 2014's upcoming midterm elections? Personally, I would like to think it means sanity is starting to come back to America. But realistically, I think it just means in certain segments, people are waking up and smart races are being run in certain segments. Again, certain segments. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Texas, even though Texas has a female Democrat running for governor in 2014, I just don't think Texas is going to wake up and kick Cruz out of the Senate. And I think in states that where you know, the marching orders are still Obama is a Muslim that wasn't born in this country, like Mississippi and Alabama, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. But on a national scale, I think the Tea Party has worn its welcome out in the general public's opinion.
I don't know. Some people seem to think that it hasn't worn out because there's still kowtowing to it. I think it remains to be seen next year when we get closer to the run-up on the elections in, oh my gosh, 12 months. My hope is that they will continue to be stupid and that the public will have a longer memory than it usually does.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're still doing their shenanigans. The Koch brothers are doing these anti-Obamacare ads, you know, throwing keggers in tailgating parties and telling the college students that they shouldn't sign up for it. You know, they just won't
and
quit.
This was in evidence in Miami, right, for a football game, because, you know, the underlying hope for the Affordable Care Act is that we have younger, healthy people signing up,
mm-hmm.
under 30-year-olds signing up for Obamacare to help bell curve, for lack of a better term, the system, so that we don't have top-end older people with long-term health issues have a lot of younger people who are relatively healthy to balance things out. And I'm not sure that people in college are as dumb as the Koch brothers want to think that they are, so that they'll just show up at a free beer and snack tailgate and sign up or pledge not to sign up for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, which, you know, when I was in college, I wrote my name on a lot of things that I swore I would do or not do just so I could get a free drink or a free T-shirt or whatever. But still did what I wanted to do. And you can pledge all you want not to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, but at the end of the day, if you want to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, your pledge doesn't mean jack. It just makes the Tea Party financial people feel more secure and make them feel like they have more of a platform, which in reality they really do not. It's diminishing. And again, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, the website having issues doesn't really mean, and in no way, shape, or form means that there is a problem with the Affordable Care Act. The infrastructure for the website may be flawed.
But it doesn't mean that the law is flawed.
Exactly. Exactly. We have to keep in mind, these same people who are holding hearings to try to hold people accountable for the website not working are the same people who don't want the website to work, who don't want the Affordable Care Act law to be enacted. It's disingenuous, and it's really kind of hilarious to me. And the big thing that gets me is, okay, we like to believe we're a progressive nation. We like to believe that the internet is prevalent in everyone's household and everyone's mindset. But in reality, there are large segments of this nation, geographically, not to mention from a standpoint of age and financial situations, who don't even use the internet, who need the Affordable Care Act, who need access to the law. So a lot of these people won't be using the internet to go sign up anyway. If they're going to use it, they're going to use the number. They're going to call in. They're going to get the information, and they're going to dial in because they don't have a computer to use. They don't know how to use a computer. I like to think that both of my parents are, or I should say all three of my parents are pretty savvy, intelligent, on top of things people. But, you know, I wouldn't put even money on my mother being able to cut and paste. I know my dad, who's on the computer all the time and on the internet all the time, he can't even figure out how to cut and paste. So that level of technical ability to use the website probably isn't there across the country. So, you know, it's a big deal that the website is slow, the website's not working, but it's really not a great big deal because they're just large segments that won't be using it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you're saying, and I just think it's a shame that they are attacking things that the law of the land. You know, they're always attacking Roe v. Wade. Now they're always attacking the ACA. You know, our unemployment is still in the sevens.
Yeah.
You know, we still need the Americans with Disabilities Act done. We need gun control. We need immigration reform. There are a lot of things that need to be done. And, you know, I was thinking about this today, And I was thinking about Obama's legacy. And, you know, I want him to be like the greatest. I want him to be historically thought as one of the greatest presidents ever. And then I started thinking about, you know, what could we say, you know, he did this, this, that, and the other. And then I started to think, well, you know, I mean, his everything that he's tried to do has just been mired in discontent and sabotage. You know, I don't want him, I don't want the website to be, the website issues to be his legacy. I don't want, when you think about the American, the CARE Act, I don't want us to instantly think about, you know, the Koch brothers and all the fighting and, you know, the 52 times they've tried to repeal it. But that's what they want. You know, I want him, I want immigration reform. You know, I want there to be all these landmark watershed laws that he passed that we can look back 40 years from now and say, you know what, that was phenomenal. Look at how much this country has benefited from it. But they just don't want it, you know. I don't understand. I know why, but I don't know why. You know what I mean? I understand, but I don't understand. You know, you and I know it's because he wears blue patent leather shoes.
Yes, and his pants are striped in a pattern that's not normally presidentially striped. We all know that.
But, you know,
we know
it's,
that.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, here we have a biracial president. We have an interracial couple in the mayoral house. I don't know what they call it in New York.
Greasy,
you know,
mansion.
Is that for the mayor or the governor?
I think it's
for the
mayor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Greasy mansion. I mean, it's not the first. Has New York had a black mayor before?
Yeah, Dinkins. Dinkins.
Dinkins. Okay, yes. Yes, Dinkins. Okay, so it's not the first time black people have been in the house. But, I mean, it's an interracial couple. This is, you know, what it is now. This is normal. And beautiful black kids in that house. And people are still losing their freaking mind.
Well, because you have to understand, racism, as we know it, is no longer in existence. According to people who say, see there, we elected a black president, so there is no more racism in America. See there, we allowed movies like Lincoln to be made about freeing the slaves, so there is no more prejudice in America. I mean,
mm-hmm.
All these things are being used so that things like the Voting Rights Amendment can be deemed no longer necessary. You know, things like that are out there, and you and I know better. And black America and white America know better. And brown America is finding out that no matter how many signs that are put up, how much signage is used with Spanish written on them as in conjunction with English, no matter
Up here it's Russian.
Wow, because I've never seen.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've never seen any other bilingual signage on stores and products other than Spanish in the last, say, 7 or 8 years.
Well,
but,
so there's the closer the border you get, it's French. And then just locally here, not on the products, but on the signage, there's Russian, because we have a huge, huge Russian and Ukrainian population here.
Well, I mean, that makes sense on stores and things like that. I mean, we see that. We've got, you know, we've got Asian community and a Polish community here in Baltimore. So we see that. But on products, you don't see, you know, Tide and usage of Tide and then the usage of Tide in Spanish on the same label. But no matter how easy it is, they've made it for this stuff to be, I don't know, accessible for our Latina and Latino brethren. They're still treated like second-class citizens. And welcome to our reality. Welcome to what we deal with on a regular basis. You know,
we're in the White House. Brown is the new black.
Brown is the new black, right? But black is not the new white,
right?
And there are Dunkin' Donuts commercials and McDonald's commercials. McDonald's been doing it for years, where they're like total black neighborhoods.
Doesn't this annoy you?
It does annoy you.
How there's just like this black utopia where everything and everybody at McDonald's is black. And you know what else annoys me? And I just tangentially for a minute, that Aflac commercial where he's sitting there in his dressing room rehearsing his lines, and every line comes out in some different form of Ebonics. Why is that funny?
I don't know, girlfriend.
What? Okay, so I'm sorry. It's just been bugging the shit out of me.
I have to pay attention to that commercial because ever since Gilbert Gottfried got fired from being the Aflac duck, I haven't really paid attention to them.
Yep, it's the new one.
To check that out. I'll have to check that out. But we've got to keep in mind that the more things change, the more they don't. You know, this country still has issues with race, and if you don't think so, just the lies that are being perpetrated on Obamacare because it was put forth by this president are evidence enough. But let me also say this, to get back to your point about the president's legacy. While we're in the midst of an administration, it's hard to see the overall impact and the legacy coming down the line. Because I clearly remember thinking that Bill Clinton's legacy after 8 years of being a wonderful president would be he slept with Monica Lewinsky and lied about it. And though, you know, not to diminish Barack Obama's accomplishments, but clearly the right-wing attack was Whitewater, Bill Clinton was a woman chaser, and he ate a lot of burgers. You know, and that's all they wanted, you know, that's what they wanted to make out of his presidency. And, you know, I think 2 years from now, 2 years after after he leaves office, the total impact of his presidency will be understood and clearly defined. You know, the only, and I know this sounds like I'm fighting an old battle, but to me, clearly, the only president in recent history that you can say, okay, the clear definition of what his legacy is, was, and would be while he was in office was George W. Bush. And his legacy, what we know, what'll be his legacy forever, will be he started one war that was unnecessary. He took his eye off the prize while he was president and 9/11 happened. He presided over the nation when Katrina hit, and because of the resources he had allocated to the war and the unnecessary war in Iraq were there, the recovery for Louisiana and the Gulf Coast was slowed, and you know, infrastructure of the Gulf Coast region was compromised because the Army Corps of Engineers wasn't given money because all resources had been given toward the Iraqi war. It was a presidency and administration steeped in failure, the likes of which we had not seen since, I don't know, maybe Herbert Hoover was president. I mean, this country fell into the worst recession since the Great Depression under George W. Bush's watch. And we knew that at the time. So here we are 5 years later, and we're still digging our way out of what he left us. Mm-hmm. I don't think Barack Obama's legacy will be that bad. I mean, people will try to say whatever they want to try to say, and you have a lot of, you know, the right wing trying to push things. And yeah, I mean, not everything has been a success, but not everything has been a failure. He has definitely pushed healthcare forward, even though we all know there are parts of the Affordable Care Act that need fixing. But the law is should not be and will not be scrapped. We all know that recently these revelations of eavesdropping by our spy community on friendly governments has become a problem. But again, guess what? Those regulations and policies and I don't know, downhill foresight to do that all came out of the Patriot Act, which was passed under the Bush administration. So you can say it's under Obama's watch, but really that foundation was laid when we gave up our freedoms to be safe. And what we're seeing now is NSA has been doing things under the auspices of the Patriot Act probably more vigorously than they've been doing it for the last 40 years, but they were doing it 40 years ago. But it looks like it's Obama's issue because he's sitting president while it happened. But all this started before he got in office. So I don't really think his overall legacy will be a negative. I think it won't be as clear-cut while he's in office as George Bush's failures were, but I think he'll be appreciated probably after Hillary's run, more so than immediately.
Yeah, I just... Pardon me. I mean, I agree. I get frustrated because I just see that there can be so much that he wants to do so much good for this country, and he's just being thwarted, and thwarted for ridiculous reasons, you know, and I just don't understand. When I vote for somebody or not, you know, let's just say when the people vote for somebody and put them in office, they're not sent Reichard, my congressman, you know, you weren't sent to D.C. to stall everything and prevent this country from moving forward, Boehner, whatever you want to be called. It's not fair, and it's frustrating, and it makes me angry because they are not stalling it for the good of the country. It's not like he's trying to, you know, put forth some illegal, immoral, impeachable law. You know, he's not trying to take over the country and make this a dictatorship.
Though that's what they want to say.
That's what they want to say, but that's not what's happening. You know, that's their lie. You know, if he was, you know, trying to invade Canada, yeah, stop his ass. He's not trying to do anything to harm this country, you know, and I hate that they throw that term around so loosely. Well, the Affordable Care Act will harm this country. No, it won't. No, it won't. Well, you know, Roe v. Wade has harmed this country. No, it hasn't. You know, and I mean, you and I are on Facebook. We have seen countless posts. I have a friend who, she and her husband have been in the the insurance free market, she is saving $900 a month. Now, I didn't get into specifics with her. Is that because of tax break or whatever? But the bottom line is she now is paying $900 less a month than she was before. Another friend is paying $100 less a month than he was before for his wife and his two children and his new baby on the way. I went to fill a prescription that normally costs me $30 each, and they were free, and I had to double check. I was like, why didn't you swipe my credit card? I mean, my debit card. She's like, it's free. It's considered preventative now. What? So I'm now saving, you know, $30 a month. That's not a big, you know, woohoo. But still, I mean, it was $30 I wasn't expecting to save. Because now, as a woman, some of my feminine needs are considered preventative medication. I have yet to talk to anybody. I have yet to see one Facebook post in my circle. And not all my circle, you know, love Obama. Some of them can't stand him. But I have yet to see, oh, my God, I lost my insurance. Oh, my God, my insurance premium's gone up. I have not seen that once. Have you?
No. And you know, but, again, I don't know how many people in your circle are going to benefit like you have, because I don't really see a lot of need for ass cream. But maybe other people do. So if that's now free for you, I'm happy.
Oh, shut up. That's over the counter.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the problem. You got some OTC ass cream.
Right. Like I said, I haven't sought medical attention yet. Because I just don't want to just hit the doctor with this.
Right, right. No, but on a serious tip, it's become the boogeyman for the Republicans, and it's really become the boogeyman because it's going to work, and it will be, and they know it'll work. And, again, we've talked about this before. The interesting thing about, to me, the diversity of, I can't even say diversity, diverse opinions or mantras of the two parties when they elect a president. You know, the last three Democrat presidents, Obama, Clinton, and Carter, their legacies in office and after they are out of office is all about helping the people of this country, helping the entire population, top to bottom, rich and poor, but mostly lower middle class and poor people. And the marching orders of the last three Republican presidents has always been big business and defense. And
big government, even though they deny it, but you don't get any bigger government when you're trying to regulate people's bedrooms.
Patriot Act, which, you know, it's funny how they don't even try to defend George Bush's presidency, because he increased government like no president in the history since FDR. And FDR's increase in the government was necessary, needed, and set the framework for how things work in this country to this day. You know, we were floundering. I don't want to say we because I wasn't born. Our nation was floundering and on the verge of utter collapse, if not for some of the things that the New Deal and World War II came about under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But George Bush expanding Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and the wars just blew government completely out of the water. And that's another thing I should add. we have to look at from a historical standpoint. Barack Obama's successes have come in spite of having a do-nothing, a literal do-nothing Congress, the likes of which would have made President Truman go, oh my God, this is frustrating. Because his do-nothing Congress at least got some things done. This Congress has done nothing, and Obama has still been able to set up a recovery out of a disastrous recession, gotten unemployment down into the 7%, which is still should be lower, but job creation has steadily increased over the length of his presidency. But we still are not seeing any capitulation to reality. You send, as you said, you send your people to Congress to fix the country. The Tea Party has sent people to Congress to do nothing, to stagnate the machine. And though the machine is not perfect, it is the machine, and it can be fixed to work more efficiently, but by stopping it from working, you're not helping anything or anybody. How can you say this president has not created jobs when you won't sign a jobs bill? How can you say this president hasn't been effective in fixing the infrastructure in the country when you won't sign a jobs bill? How can you say the recovery isn't as fast as it could be when you won't sign a jobs bill? I mean, just basic things, and it's more than frustrating. It's freaking treasonistic, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And, you know, there was a telling statistic that a lot of people were sick of Congress except for their own personal representatives. So, you know, the American populace doesn't even see past their nose. You know, I think my congressman sucks, and I can't wait to vote him out. You know, it's not, I don't see it as all of them suck except for mine. No, they all suck, period, point blank.
And see, and with Washington being a very progressive state, that's a telling signal. In Maryland, we're right here. We border D.C. D.C. is in Maryland. Part of D.C. is in Maryland. And we have, we're right here, the Beltway, all of that. But for the most part, I love the representatives in United States Congress from Maryland. I don't love Sarbanes, but I'm very happy with Sarbanes. Our senator, Barbara Mikulski, I mean, she's so cute you could put her in your pocket.
I know, her little self.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's just special in what she tries to do. And both of our senators are Democrat, and our caucus is Democrat. So, you know, we do have a few knuckleheads. We got people there to make you go, what? I don't. But for the most part, we you know, we're pretty happy with what we have going on out there. I just think I can look out and see the rest of the country and look at the rest of members of Congress and go, yeah, you guys are horrible. But then I can look inward at what we have there and say, you know, we've got people out there who are trying to do their best. We've got Steny Hoyer. We've got, as I said, Barbara Mikulski. We've got Sarbanes. We've got people who are really concerned about moving the country forward. We've got Elijah Cummings, who I think before the year is out is going to reach across the desk and choke Daryl Issa until his eyes bulge out.
Somebody needs to.
You know, they fight every day with Issa being the chair of the committee to start a bunch of bullshit, which I really don't think is the real name of it, but that's what I get out of his congressional hearings. And his co-chair opposite number is Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings is calling him on all of his BS. You can't call, you can't demand, you can't subpoena the head of IT for the Affordable Care Act to come in and explain why things aren't working the way it should work when he's trying to fix it, and then get mad when he says, I'm really trying to fix it. I'm not trying to avoid anything. Once we get this up and working, I'll be more than happy to come in and testify. And then call shenanigans. You can't do it because the man has to do his job. You don't ask the mechanic who's fixing your car to come talk to you in the middle of him trying to change out your carburetor. You don't do it. You wait till he finishes, and then you ask him what happened. You know, and just the blatant hypocrisy of the process is really starting to bother America. And I think America's had their fill of the Tea Party. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I know there's that segment that, you know, thinks they're doing great, you know, but on the real, they're not doing great. Their approval rating is lower than dog crap, literally lower than dog crap. And the country is stagnated. And I think if not for Obama standing on that wall and saying, hold up, wait a minute, we would be up the creek without a paddle. Just my opinion. What do I know?
I'm with you. I'm with you. I can't stand Daryl Issa. And as luck would have it, you know, if I was still in California, he would be my representative based on where I used to live. And, you know, and I dislike my congressman, but he'll get reelected because for several reasons. One, when it comes to local issues, he's okay. He has more than once helped us locally. And then, you know, I always forget to turn off my phone. He's helped us locally more than once. And based on our district, remember I told you my district is lumped in there with Microsoft where the money is. So, you know, he's making sure he takes care of them. But when it comes to nationally, he is in lockstep. He, you know, blindly followed anything that the Bush administration wanted him to do, and he's blindly following all the stuff that Boehner wants him to do. And that annoys the crap out of me because, you know, that's not what his constituents want. He can say that's what his constituents want, but that's not what we want. Now, granted, I haven't spoken to every single constituent in this district, but this is a purple district. It's more, it's dark purple. It's more blue than red. And I know I see my community suffering. I see the people who need health care. I see the people who need jobs. I mean, I'm in the high-tech industry. There was, you know, we were struggling for work there for a while, just like everybody else. But we got hit hard when the bubble burst, real hard. You know, we have a lot of soccer moms in this district, but we also have a lot of progressive women who are in the high-tech industry, especially over there in Microsoft, and these are single women who are go-getters, and they want their health care. We have a high gay population here in Seattle. Now, the district where, you know, every city has, for lack of a better term, a gay neighborhood. Primarily there's a large concentration of gay people in the city proper, and that's not in his district. But out here in the burbs, yeah, even out here in the sticks where I live, there's a gay club.
Is it called the manhole?
No, idiot.
Just ask it.
No.
Is it called Meet Me on the Moon?
No, Stooge. Just stop. They actually have like burlesque shows. It's pretty cool. I go down there. They have the female drag queens, and they do this whole show. I love it. But anyway, I see what my neighbors look like. I see who
there
is
are
at the
no
grocery
female
store
drag
with
queen.
Me.
You mean the male drag queens.
The male drag queen. Yeah, the drag queens,
yeah.
Whatever. You know
yeah.
what I meant. Men
yeah.
dressed as women performing. I see who my neighbors are. You know, I see the little rainbow stickers on the back of their car. And, you know, you know what I mean? So I know that he's not serving his constituents. Not that there aren't gay Republicans, but, you know, let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
So.
I think a gay Republican lifestyle is the closet. Republican gay lifestyle is in the closet. I don't, you know, except for a very small segment, most gay Republicans are not at peace with their preferences. So I think you're more likely. I'm not saying just because you're gay, you're a liberal, but I think if you're gay, you're probably, if you're gay and in the open, you're probably more liberal than you are conservative.
Yes, and that's who his constituency is. So when he says, the people back home don't want blah, 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 no, that would be a lie. That would be a big old lie, just so you know. Out east in eastern Washington, where they're represented by crazy Kathy McManus and Morris, yeah, that's very much true. That woman is crazy as a Betsy bug, but, you know, that out there, that's what's out there, you know. They're very, very conservative out there. So anyway, we got off on a tangent.
No, but
stop,
I think that was a very good. I think it was a good tangent, and I think it's necessary based on, the conversation is what it is. We are right now looking at a period in American history that could be judged poorly for our elected president, but I think will be judged overall favorably, if not fairly. I mean, I would like to think, you know, let's look at it. What, Ronald Reagan was president, 25 years ago? His last
it
president.
It can't be that long. I guess it was.
Yeah, and people now revere him as though he were a god on the Republican side.
Right,
you know,
and I remember.
Go ahead,
25, so I don't remember a whole bunch.
You remember reading about in history, reading about in history books.
Right. I remember discussing it in class.
Right, about
in history 101, American history
right.
101.
Where ketchup is a vegetable and things like that. And quite honestly, in my opinion, my personal opinion, Ronald Reagan was the worst president we had until we had George W. Bush. I mean, I despised George W. Bush, but I didn't despise George W. Bush because he was mean-spirited. I despised the fact that he was dumb as a box of rocks, and we had a Congress that was willing to work with him regardless of the crap that he did or he wanted to do. They went lockstep with him into funding two wars, non-funding two wars. They went lockstep with him into increasing the government. They went lockstep with him into programs for seniors' prescriptions. It wasn't funded. I mean, all this stuff on the surface should have worked if it was funded, but none of it was funded, and we are still suffering from those decisions that the Democratic side of the House and the Senate went lockstep with him on. And this is stuff that Barack Obama has to fight every day. But my point is, I think 25 years from now, if I'm still here, You will be, because 25 years from now, you being 27 now, you'll be 30.
No, I'll be 25. You better check yourself.
Yeah, okay. Tell that to your grandchildren.
They'll know better not to question it.
That sock full of hot nickels will still be around, huh?
Right. You see, I beat asthma into your mama. Imagine what I could do to you.
Still have hospital administrators wondering. But I think 25 years from now, clearly, Bill Clinton will be the Democrats' Ronald Reagan, but I think Barack Obama will be a close second. I think Hillary should be elected easily behind Obama, but she will build on what he started, and it will be an easier transition for her, or easier situation for her, because most of the knuckleheads that he's had to deal with will be gone, and their disdain for Obama is palatable to some people because, you know, again, the way he exits the presidential limousine is different than anyone else has ever done it. But it's one thing to have racial bias, but then you follow it up with sexism and you start losing even more of the people who you want and need in your base. So there'll be a lot of women who may not agree with Hillary, but aren't going to stand for her being, quote unquote, and I'm using the quote fingers, bullied by the old boy network when they
That's right.
Up with it for Obama. And they, you know, and if you've got 8 years of obstructionism and then you throw 4 more years, possibly 8 more years of trying to add obstructionism to the mix, it just ain't going to fly. This country is not going to stand for it. There are already more women than men in this country, and they're more minority. You know, we're not minorities anymore. The minorities have taken over. If you collectively put us all together, we outnumber the poor, downtrodden, white, middle, and upper class by a large number. I just don't see her having the same issues that he has, but I do see her building upon what he started. I think the economy will flourish under her, and she'll get a lot of credit for it, but it'll all be because of what was started under Barack Obama.
Well, here's hoping. I will vote for her.
Yeah, of course. I'll vote for her. You'll vote for her. She'll take lessons learned in 2008 and build on what was done in 2009. She'll bring a lot of his staff. She'll bring Bill's people back into play. And it shouldn't even be close, even if Governor Krispy Kreme is her opponent. Because I tell you right now, if it's Ted Cruz on down the road, it'll be a landslide ass-whooping, the likes of which haven't been seen since FDR ran for re-election the first time. I just think that America has woken up. The sleeping giant has been awakened.
And it's not going to be Rand Paul because he's imploded.
Oh, Rand Paul. We could do, you know what? Let's set this up right now. Barring any earth-shattering news, let's spend an hour on Rand Paul's ferret-headed ideals next week. Because I'm ready to crawl up and down this month.
Right. Plagiarizing everything.
And getting mad because people are calling him out on his plagiarism.
Right.
I'd go back to being a doctor. I ain't got to take this. I want to be president. You can't pick on me. And he probably plagiarized that goddamn rant.
You know he did.
So Kamal, I'm so glad you got rid of your bed bugs and you've taught me something. I'm about to pour some wine in an ashtray and see how many gnats I can kill. And to my friend Natalie Robinson and my friend Nathaniel Johnson, don't come over here. It could be dangerous for y'all. Just want y'all to know. We be killing gnats with our wine.
Right.
See you next week, love. Love you.